Good afternoon, everyone. You and Marcy, whenever you're ready, you can start with the roll call.
Yep. Okay. Brian Arnold. Marcy's here. Michael Boggs.
Present.
Marcus Brooks. Frank Cantone. Sean Chang.
Present.
Kyle Cornell.
Present.
Erica Crawley. Bethany Dixon.
Present.
Jamie Doss,
Present.
Thomas Hambury,
Present.
Don Hinshaw, Kyle Carnuda,
Here.
Ellie Crum, Jeremy Cruiser,
Here.
Sophie Lanchez.
Here.
Hi, Christy Mahoney.
Here.
Anne Morse,
Here.
Kevin Phipps,
Here.
Stephanie Rizzo,
Present.
Ivan Solis Cruz. Phil Soroka,
Present.
Kate Supron, Deb Strine.
Here.
Wendy Treat,
Present.
Jana Van Houten,
Present.
and Danielle Wyerson.
Wearson here.
Oh, Wearson, sorry.
Yep, it's all right.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Marcy. And for our land acknowledgement, Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, which is an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Anyone have any late additions that they'd like to add to the agenda?
Can I just say that I missed roll call, but I am here.
Thank you, Brian. Okay. I don't see anything. So let's move on to the approval of the minutes. They are located, the link within the agenda that you received, I believe it was on yesterday. So I'll give everyone a minute or two to look, and if anyone welcomes, or I welcome a approval if anyone would like to motion an approval. Yes, Wendy.
Motion to approve both the December 20th, 2023 and January 17th, 2024 minutes by unanimous consent.
Second.
Excellent. Thank you both. Okay, so Now we are going to move on to the resolution for president, or the res excuse me, resolution number four, in support of President Pollock. This was prompted by a letter urging the trustees to basically have President Pollock step down in response to anti-Semitism on campus. And DEI initiatives. This was born from a trustee, a former trustee. And I don't know if anyone had a chance to look at everything. Hopefully you had a chance to get acquainted with it. But I just want to open the floor up. If anyone has any, if you'd like any, submit any comments or questions.
Do you
Go
mind?
ahead, Amy. Yeah.
Hi. I just wanted to give some background and sort of talk through my process in writing this resolution. Hi, everybody. I'm Hey Hey DePew, and I'm so happy to see you all and present this. And I just want to say about this letter, John Lindseth wrote an open letter. He created a letter writing campaign and targeted a bunch of members of the board. I received the letter. I took that letter, and what I took really from it was an attack on our leadership and this request for resignation of our president. I felt right after that Wall Street Journal article and then that Board of Trustees unanimous sort of support of the president was sort of the I think the focal point of what came from that letter. And my hope in creating this resolution was to be in line with the board, to be in line with the faculty who have provided their unanimous support in just saying that this is our president, we support our president. I would be so happy to add more to this. I think the point for me is to be clear in that we do support our president. I also want to note that the letter attacks our DEI staff and programming. And for that, I think that my recommendation would be for there to be a separate but equally strong resolution focused on our DEI staff and our programming. I know I've had a lot of separate conversations about this attack on DEI within our sort of university, but I really didn't want to take away from that unified message of support for the president, but with a staff sort of focus. And so if I've missed anything that is DEI related, I do apologize. That was not my intent. It was really to focus in on that support for our president, who I don't know if you've seen her recently, but I feel like this has sort of been a little bit impactful for her. So I feel like as a community for us to support her, I think would be well received. And so, again, this resolution doesn't cover the entirety of the letter, and it is not the only thing I'm thinking about. I've had other conversations about the attacks on DEI within other spaces, so it is not lost on me that the community as a whole requires a lot of attention. But I feel like I wanted to sort of be in alignment with our support for the president at this time because I feel like she's the focal point of sort of these attacks, and that is just one person. But the entire space of DEI staff and programming requires, I think, attention as well. But the focus of this resolution, and I wanted it to be clear that, that we do support President Pollock. And I would say, from my perspective, she has supported us in a lot of different avenues and during really difficult times. So I would like to, voice our support for her. But again, I also welcome any additions to the resolution, anything else you want to include. And that's sort of my perspective on it. I feel like maybe I missed an opportunity to address other parts of the letter, but I was hoping those would be addressed maybe in a sort of separate resolution or a sort of separate action. I really kind of wanted to focus in on President Pollock because it seemed like she was really at the heart of this letter writing campaign. And I think in light of all the recent events and presidents who've had to step down or been asked to resign, that I thought it was important for us to show our unified support. What I'm asking for and what I would really like is unanimous support on this. But I do want to sort of get your consensus and I want to get everybody's feedback on this and open a dialogue about it because I do want to hear from you all and all of your perspectives on this resolution. So I thank you all for your time and I'm sorry for sort of monopolizing the space here, but yeah, that's the resolution in a nutshell.
Excellent. Thank you, Hey Hey, for providing that background. So I'm going to start with Wendy, then Phil, Jeremy, and then Kyle. So go right ahead, Wendy.
Thanks, Jana. And thank you, Hey Hey, for bringing this to the floor. I do appreciate it. A couple of things. First, I want to echo what Bethany just put in chat, that I also agree a separate I-related resolution would be in order. My other point is, I don't know if it's clarification or a question, but in the letter from John Linseth, he also calls for the resignation of Provost Kolakoff. And I don't know whether that should be addressed in this resolution, in a separate resolution. I mean, he was basically calling for like the two top people at our university to resign based on the reaction of what happened on October 7th. So that's just kind of where I'm going. I don't know that it calls for an amendment to this resolution, a separate resolution saying we support Provost Kolakoff, whatever it may be, but I just wanted to put that out there.
From my understanding, very candidly, and these are sort of murmurings, from my understanding, I don't know if this is, you know what, I'm not allowed to share certain information, but the Board of Trustees, the support was for President Pollack, and so I really wanted to be in line with that messaging. I think if you all agree that we should add Provost Kolakoff, I don't know how you all feel about Provost Kolakoff. I feel like our interactions with him are sort of limited. I feel like President Pollack is really the person that goes to our staff, you know, addresses and that sort of meets with us, and our interactions with Provost Kolakoff are limited. So if there is consensus here to add him, I'm absolutely happy to do it. It just, that wasn't sort of the messaging from either the trustees or the faculty or sort of the conversations I've had with some staff. It hasn't been like, you know, but happy to incorporate it if that is the consensus here.
Yeah, thank you, Hey Hey. Phil, go right ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to thank you, Hey Hey, again for putting this together and clarifying that you have the idea of having a separate DEI resolution. I think that's a wonderful idea because as someone in the grad school, I have a lot of colleagues who are specifically in DEI, and that's sort of been a mood changer since then. So I was hoping I could propose that we, when drafting a DEI support letter, that we can include something around the core values of Cornell to sort of emphasize a little more punch to why we're supporting DEI. Not just that, because I fully support President Pollack and what we have in the EA Resolution 4 here, but I kind of feel like there needs to be a little more punch, a little more, and it may be a little trickier that way, but this does seem sort of like a political thing, and in order to have weight, I think there needs to be a little bit more substance in order for it to be compelling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I am in line with what Bethany is thinking, that this resolution in support of President Pollack, it is, the intention was to say we're supporting President Pollack, and I'm happy to help with drafting another resolution in support of DEI efforts. I've had so many conversations about how terrible that letter was and how painfully difficult it was to read as a person of color, as a person who supports DEI initiatives. But I also don't, you know where, you know, the full body stands in terms of their support for those initiatives. And I don't want to get into a debate about everybody's support of DEI when I know where my stance is, but I feel like we can all agree that we support President Pollack. And so I wanted to focus there, not wanting to take anything from DEI. I really feel like there needs to be a separate sort of resolution for that.
Agreed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. And Jeremy?
Thanks for saying that too, Phil, because Hey Hey and I, previous to this, had some conversation via email about directing some of those whereas clauses specifically to counter the reasons given for asking President Pollack to step down. So I feel like we can stay focused on President Pollack, and support President Pollack in her position. But I think that we will have more impact with the resolution if our statements aren't just because we like her, but more directly showing the counterpoint to the reasons given for asking her to step down, which is her policies on anti-Semitism and on DEI.
Yeah,
so I've been reaching out to some folks trying to get some language for that, because I know you'd asked me to help with providing some language. I'm happy to do so. Just I only read it yesterday, so yeah. I'm still trying to collect some more information.
Yeah, so we're about 2 weeks out from that letter, and also maybe a little under 2 weeks out from the trustees and faculty statement on this. We could just make a statement and say we support President Pollack. A resolution is an official act of this body, so it would go on public record, and you know, we could, you know, really publicize our support of her in through this resolution. So I'm happy to add any sort of language you want to. Again, the messaging is still we support our president, but happy to incorporate any feedback. I want to also respect process and Robert's rules. I think that we need to have the chair sort of recognize individuals.
Right. Before we continue on, though, I had one other point to add, which was to Provost Kotlikoff. Whether it's in this resolution or a separate one, I absolutely feel like I would be in support of President Kotlikoff as a veteran at Cornell. Provost Kotlikoff has done more than any other person that I know of at the university for really from the top encouraging Cornell to be a place for our country's veterans to be staff and students, and has been a major force in driving Cornell to being one of the top universities for military veterans in the country.
Thank you, Jeremy. Definitely something to consider. Kyle, go ahead.
Thanks. Also, Jeremy, I feel like you always have a mic drop. I love following you. I am really grateful that this is a resolution that we're considering as soon as that letter came out, because it made national news. I sent it to my whole team and I was like, hey guys, like there's something that you need to be aware of because you might be getting questions about this. So I am super supportive of the idea of this resolution. Also the idea of focusing on the president, because I know me personally, I just know more about what she has done. I don't really know much about the provost, but definitely open to learning more. But I know time is of the essence, so I think keeping it focused on Martha is expedient. But I agree. I think, Jeremy, I'm getting the sense of what you were saying at first, so I think I'm agreeing with you that I do think it would be relevant and probably incumbent on us to include language in this resolution specifically about the president's actions, supporting both freedom of speech and academic freedom and integrity at the university, and also DEI initiatives, because those are directly related to some of the accusations that are getting thrown towards her from both sides. So I would worry about releasing a statement or releasing a resolution or passing a resolution that ignores that language. And forgive me if it is in here and I missed it, some of the whereas language just like loops around my brain. But I would want to include that just because it is official communication that's going out. And I worry that there could be some kind of a backlash that says, hey, you're ignoring these two very critical issues with this language. People aren't going to assume that there's more coming.
Thank you, Kyle. And Marcy.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Hey, for drafting this EA, the resolution. Thank you so much. And I too support the resolution for showing our support for President Pollack. She has a relationship with the employee assembly. She traditionally does come to our meetings, and the president's staff, addressed to staff, whereas Provost Kotlikoff doesn't, not necessarily that there's anything wrong with it, just isn't part of the makeup of the EA where he comes to too many meetings. I do support it. I would support a resolution to support him, and of course a resolution to support DEI. And I think when it comes to voting, we should possibly on the resolution later, we should possibly discuss. Can we vote on the resolution as is? We would like to get it out as soon as possible to keep it relevant, to keep it, as he said, out as soon as possible, to possibly put the resolution forth to with just a few little edits, maybe adding a few things. I don't know if that's allowed, if that can be done, but just to keep in the essence of time and to keep it relevant too. But thank you.
Thank you, Marcy. And Bethany.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I was just reading through the letter again, which was a mistake because it's I'm sick. Just the rage. But anyway, I was thinking that, especially since we're hoping to get this resolution out sooner than later, and I don't think that that letter really merits us trying to respond with counterpoints exactly, but I do think that whether it's in the DEI resolution or an added whereas to the current one, I do think it would be really important to say something like, whereas we recognize DEI as a crucial framework and non-negotiable aspect of our Cornell community, like something that basically says DEI is not like optional to our mission here. And I think the DEI is a social experiment, that kind of language in the letter and pitching it as that. I just think it would be important to have a counterpoint to that framework of it. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's my thought.
Thank you, Bethany. Danielle.
I just put a link in the chat to the follow-up with Mr. Linzeth with the Sun that was done recently. But the gist of it is when asked kind of the standard question that's being asked of DEI opponents, what is DEI? His response was basically to ask President Pollack. So in terms of what we're refuting, like Bethany said, I don't know how many details we need to go into because he didn't provide a whole lot of specific criticism. He just sort of threw DEI out there as a talking point. But if anybody wants to read that, I did link that there. This was just from like a day ago of him refuting the results of the trustee meeting.
Great. Thanks, Danielle. Wendy.
Just to answer Kyle's question in chat about language for the amendments and timeline. If we do any amendments to this resolution, if we want to get it out, they have to be done in this meeting. So we would have to, someone would have to propose amendment to line whatever it might be. We would have to vote on it. And then once everything is all done, then we vote on the resolution and it can go forth. I see where people are coming from with Provost Polakoff not being a part of this. However, I do feel that you should at least acknowledge that he was also named in the letter to resign along with, or being called to resign along with President Pollack. And I also second Jeremy's mention of he has been a very strong advocate for veterans and, you know, staff and students that have served to come and study here and work here.
Thanks, Wendy. Okay.
So I will just say this. I'm open to making any edits to this. I welcome it. I again, to Marcy's point, I would like to have unanimous support for this, and I would also like to be able to sort of continue the momentum of this support for the president. My concern is we wait for a lot of feedback from a lot of different voices, and then it's a non-starter, and then it sort of dies and sort of doesn't see sort of resolution almost. But not to say we shouldn't have the input. I think we absolutely should. Should we maybe set some time sort of to say by this point we would like all of those additional comments in, and then when do we vote on it? I want to set sort of manageable deliverables so that we can make progress on this.
Thank you, Hey Hey. Wendy, is this related to Hey Hey? Is it
Yeah, it
not
is.
next to the, okay.
Well, sorry to jump ahead of you, Kyle and Jeremy. Just as a point of order with that, if we want to do amendments, we actually can do an electronic vote with the amendments and set a time. So like if you want to say, for example, by Friday at noon, but it would need to be like we would all have to approve the amendments and then also vote on the actual final resolution so that it can get passed. Or, you know, voted on and then submitted to the president.
Thanks, Wendy. Jeremy.
So that, thanks, hey, that actually gets right into what I was going to ask, which is what is the expected timeline for this? I understand that we want to get this out in a timely manner so that it's still relevant. And I hear what everyone's saying about not spending quite so much time picking out all the nitty-gritty details for somebody who clearly didn't do the work themselves. Why should we spend the time? So I'm a little bit of two minds about that, but I also recognize the need for speed. So I guess my question is, are we looking to vote on this at the next EA meeting? Before that, do we want to vote today? Is what's the plan? What's our goal here? And how do we want to proceed with that?
Mm-hmm. Right. Sorry, Kyle. I just want to ask Marcy. Marcy, is this related to Jeremy's regarding the timeline?
Yes, I would love to just quickly say my opinion is to vote on it today, to pass it today. If we wanted to pull it up to make a quick additional whereas, add to a whereas, or just vote on it as is, I wouldn't mind voting on that. We could vote on that decision though. I mean, we could vote on, do we vote on it as is? Do we vote on it to edit? There are a number of ways to do it. Sorry to make it more complicated, but.
Great, thanks Marcy. And sorry about that, Kyle, go right ahead.
No, that was great, that was all related. I'm definitely fine voting on it today because I do think it's, in my opinion, just a quick whereas President Pollock has declared the 2023-2024 academic year the year of freedom of expression. That's one. And then whereas President Pollock has, and then I'm not as familiar on some of her DEI initiatives, but I know Jeremy, you just mentioned that you were working on some language with that. So if we had the language for just those two things, just to show, because again, I think this is such a, it's become such a national issue. And I do worry about something getting out and it ignores these two. And it's just such quick points because she does have the receipts to back up this work. So if we could just throw those two whereas in there, I would be much more comfortable voting on this.
Thank you, Kyle. Jeremy?
So yes, starting yesterday afternoon, as soon as I'd read this, I started reaching out to folks. I've reached out to Ruth Katz, Linda Crowell Howell, Aaron Sepper-Chase, a couple of other folks in the DEI spaces, just asking, because this is not an area that I am super familiar with. I don't have the deets here. I'm looking for some folks with the real experience so that we could put this in. I haven't gotten the responses back yet, and maybe that's for a later resolution. I'm okay with that as a decision as well. I feel like there's a little less impact to this resolution if we're not giving examples of why we think she's doing a great job in these specific spaces, but I still think that there's value to it. So I'm for the resolution. I would love to have the time to really kind of make it what I think it should be, which is this very focused, very intentional focus on the responses to anti-Semitism and DEI, but maybe we don't have the time to do that for this first pass, and maybe we find a better way to do that when we've been given more time. I think both of those are reasonable answers.
Thanks, Jeremy. Phil, go ahead.
I wonder if someone could clarify how the resolution is going to be communicated to Cornell. I think I agree with Jeremy and Hey that it should be, this is something that should be focused and perfunctory. But I also understand people like Kyle's concerns on leaving things out. But as we're discussing, you know, things are that can stalemate us. So I wonder if on the messaging, like the way it's sent out, whether we can sort of set expectations in that communication that there will be further resolution or further communication on some of these points, so that way people know that nothing's being left out while still getting this resolution itself across. So I leave it open if anybody sort of clarify how we communicate this resolution.
So typically the executive committee takes all of the resolutions that were passed by the body of this assembly, shares it with the president. The president would then provide feedback. But also there's this additional university relations component where we can work with university relations and also the Cornell Sun to sort of publicize our stance on this. And so that would go to a larger audience. So that is sort of how that works. But again, I honestly see this as two resolutions, one in support of the president and one in support of DEI staff and programming and the initiative and our support of DEI in general. Separating the two makes each a little bit easier to do. I really welcome any additional wording to make this stronger. And I don't want to put you all in a bind to say we have to do it today, but I do feel, again, that time is of the essence. And so that's sort of my stance. But again, I am open to, you know, people working on this together. But I just feel like we might lose some momentum on this the further we sort of drag it on out.
Thanks. Hey, Wendy?
Going off what Kyle put in chat, I would actually like to make a motion to amend and add that statement, the whereas President Pollack declared the 2023-2024 academic year the year of freedom of expression. My proposal would be to put it in between the second and third whereas. So after the whereas, President Pollack has consistently supported staff and stated publicly the important role of staff have played in helping the university advance, achieve its goals, and further the institution's core values. And before the whereas, during President Pollack's January 11th, 2024 annual address to staff.
Okay. Can I share my screen and then I'll show you what I'm working on?
Sure.
Because I feel like you can live edit this too.
You should be able to share now, Hey.
All right. Does that? So I've added that. And if there is any additional language in the chat, I'm happy to add whatever you all.
The language in the chat actually, hey, has to be proposed as an amendment to the resolution because the resolution has been presented as it is. So anything that we need to add needs to be presented as a one. Yeah, Kyle, I know you're sorry. We got to follow procedure. My parliamentarian hat coming on.
And Kyle?
I can speak those if that would be helpful then. Thanks, Wendy. Sorry, still learning. Hey, the two that I had proposed were, whereas President Pollack declared the 2023-2024. Oh, wait, you got the one above. Okay, sorry. Then the next one was, whereas President Pollack declares standing against anti-Semitism and all forms of hate. I'm open to changing that language. That was just the headline from the article that I pulled. So if anyone wants to propose different language, totes down, but like literally just those two amendments, and I would be a happy lady.
Thanks, Kyle. Bethany?
Yeah, thank you so much for this, Kyle. I was also wondering if we could just workshop the language of the second additional whereas. I don't know that I have the right language for it, but I wonder if we can sort of add in something about employee assembly standing with President Pollack against hatred, and you know, something like that that sort of says, yes, President Pollack declared this. And I'm not sure, again, I'm struggling with the language. Maybe I can try typing stuff out and see. But yeah, anything anyone thinks where we can make that a little bit more a joint statement there.
I think that might be a therefore we stand with these declarations that President Pollack has made, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And Wendy?
Sorry, going back into parliamentarian mode, each of these amendments, unless they're presented altogether, need to be voted on. So I had actually already motioned to add the amendment of the President Pollock has declared that we should have voted on that before moving forward to anything else.
Thank you.
Just as a thing. So I motioned to make that amendment. We need a second motion. We need to vote.
A second.
That's what we need to do. Sorry, guys.
Thank you. Thank you both. Jeremy?
Sorry, my helper is getting in the way here. I was just going to suggest that we try to collect all the language first and then vote on it together.
Great, thank you.
Do I have to second that? Do we second that? Sorry.
My understanding is if we would like to go with what Jeremy just suggested, everyone, whoever would like to make any sort of an amendment to the resolution needs to raise their hand, state what they would like to amend, where in the resolution they'd like to have it placed, line number, whatever it might be. Hey, hey, bless her heart, is typing as we're talking. Then once we're all done with it, we have to have a motion to approve. We have to vote just like we vote on other resolutions. Once we do that, then we can either close discussion and actually vote on the resolution, or we keep discussion open if we have other questions. Does that hopefully make sense? Everyone, we're good with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so while Hey is finishing this, does anyone have any other suggestions? If not, we'll just...
I just have one quick, I think, grammar thing, which I could be wrong about, but in the whereas President Pollock has made declarations after the employee assembly, I think it should be stands instead of stand.
Thank you.
That's all. Sorry, I know you're doing a lot. Thanks.
Thank you, Bethany. And Anne, go ahead.
Thank you, everyone, for your work on this. It's really important. I wanted to just make a note that the line that says President Pollock has made declarations against anti-Semitism, her most recent statement includes, we will not tolerate anti-Semitism at Cornell. Indeed, we will not tolerate hatred of any form, including racism or Islamophobia. I'm wondering if we could include that line. I can put that in chat if helpful.
Yes, please do, and I will copy and paste it right in.
Wendy?
Just wondering if it will add a little more oomph if we actually put the date that President Pollock made that statement. So Kyle was kind enough to post that, put that link of the statement where her messaging against anti-Semitism and all forms of hate. Do we put, you know, on the date of that she made that statement?
Kyle?
On November 1st, 2023. And I just wanted to second what Anne was saying, that I agree about including the language around racism and Islamophobia.
Bethany.
This is not really, you don't need to listen to this thing if you're editing. And I know this is a much bigger conversation, but I just wanted to say that I think one of the really important things maybe to keep in mind as we learn how to like combat this sort of anti-DEI rhetoric, which I'm sure will just keep getting more insidious and more intelligently packaged, is that I think it's actually often a trap to sort of try to combat every point and try to argue with that logic or lack of logic. And so I just think that, I don't know, I guess I just wanted to say, I think moving ahead, it feels important to really just like focus on the fact that DEI work is again, like non-negotiable and not sort of give in to the temptation to try to refute every point, because I think that could go on forever and it's often not the purpose of this kind of work anyway. So I don't know. I think we'll just have to keep learning about how to do this. I certainly don't have the answer to how to do this the best way, but yeah, I feel like it could be a really important thing as a committee to sort of learn, regardless of our own beliefs, sort of learn how to strategically use language around that.
Thanks, Bethany. And go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Bethany. And actually, as you were saying that, that's why I raised my hand, was just one small change to the second amendment that we added about whereas President Pollock has made declarations standing against anti-Semitism and all forms of hate, to actually just change, because you have the quote now, hey, which looks amazing, to change it to President Pollock has made declarations standing against all forms of hate. To keep that broad, you have her quote, because it should be assumed that it's all forms. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Okay. I think that is about all the feedback. If anyone has any last comments.
I was just going to say thank you so much, Hey. That's a lot to do in real time.
Mm-hmm. I thank you all for your feedback. I'm so thankful for this community that always rallies and like helps and like makes things better. And that's sort of why I love Cornell and I don't know, all the people here. I don't know. Yes. So is there anything else I can include? Because I'm happy to include anything at all, because I agree with all of these sentiments. And I feel like this does make this a much stronger resolution.
Okay.
Do I make a motion to approve the amendments, Wendy? What do I do?
Is there any sort of debate?
As long as we don't have any more questions or debate, we can close debate and open voting.
I'm going to let Marcy contribute and then.
I would like to make a motion to vote on the resolution if we're ready.
Could we have the amendments read out first, please?
Yeah. Okay. So, sorry about this. Whereas President Pollock declared our university-wide theme for the 2023-2024 academic year the indispensable condition, freedom of expression at Cornell, whereas President Pollock has made declarations standing against all forms of hate, stating on November 1st, 2023, we will not tolerate anti-Semitism at Cornell. Indeed, we will not tolerate hatred of any form, including racism or Islamophobia. Therefore, the Employee Assembly stands with President Pollock's declarations, whereas I think those were the two.
Jeremy?
Okay. Yep.
Because of the format of a resolution, I would propose that we change the therefore in the whereas into an and, just and the employee stands with these. Because otherwise I think it therefore means something in a resolution and I think it would get confusing.
Thank you. Okay, Kate.
Oh, sorry, you're on mute, Kate.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was on mute and I couldn't get it to unmute. I would say we could also just eliminate the and just have it say the employee assembly stands with President Pollock's declarations, because therefore makes it a complete sentence, but and then we're just.
Well, and we could also add that sentiment directly to the whereas clauses at the bottom.
So
I mean, the resolved clauses, sorry.
So are we voting to say no, and just the employee assembly stands with President Pollock's declarations? Is that the vote?
It was just a suggestion. I don't feel strongly about it.
Happy to do it.
What I think I would, sorry, I should raise and be recognized and all of that. Sorry. So My proposal is that after the last whereas line, that before the be it finally resolved, we add a
the employee assembly stands.
Therefore, the employee assembly stands by President Pollack's declarations, be it final, and then the be it finally resolved.
Thank you, Kyle.
So here,
between the whereas and the, just therefore, the employee stands with, I would just say with President Pollack. And,
okay. Or is that, I'll raise my hand.
Yeah, Kate, go ahead.
Is it a therefore? Is that another whereas?
That might be a whereas.
I
think you're right.
Yeah.
Whereas,
I think it's a whereas the employee assembly stands with President
Okay,
Pollack.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I like that whereas. Better as just kind of a final, all of this we agree with. So we're going to move on to our resolved.
Yeah,
great. Okay, thank you. Kyle, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to second that. Just to, put another formal yes in there. Okay, Wendy, what did I do wrong?
Actually, it's not a whereas. It should be it resolved.
Right.
Do we need it then if it's already kind of stated right after?
Be it finally resolved. Yeah, it's be it finally resolved, but if it's not really a whereas, it would be it resolved. Nope, not take out the finally. Hey.
Yeah, be it resolved and then be it finally resolved.
And then be it finally resolved is our strong, unwavering support for President Pollack. So now, unless Bethany has more questions, we can vote on the amendments. And we, like I said, have to vote like we do for minutes, or we can do that. And then we can vote on the resolution as it is amended.
I can wait on my question until after the vote. Thanks, Bethany. We'll come back to you. Wendy.
All on a motion to vote on the amendment.
Marcy.
I second.
I vote
too. Okay. Well, Jana, now it's all in favor. Do the green check mark.
All right. So maybe we can stop sharing screen.
Sorry.
Yep. Thank you. Sorry, I just will help with the voting. So everyone who is in support of this resolution, please use go down to your actions and use the green check mark.
Amendments.
We're voting on the amendment, then the resolution.
Okay.
Just for clarification.
Thank you.
Yep.
Looks like Carl, do you have a question?
Do we have to vote on each one individually?
Okay. And I'll give Eric a moment. Okay. Did we give you enough time, Eric?
Oh, sorry. No vote for me. I'm just here for the assembly's account.
Okay, I wasn't sure who's tallying this. Let's see.
10, 11, 12, 14. 15. We have enough.
21, yes.
20, okay, great. All right, so now we can go ahead and uncheck. Those who are not in favor, please use the red X. Okay. Don't see. Let's see. All right. Anyone who would like to abstain, please use the gray slowdown button that is next to the red circle with the X. I see one. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I motion to, oh, sorry, Wendy.
Kyle, gotta raise your hand, my friend. You can second my motion, though, to approve the resolution.
Thank you. Wendy, go ahead.
That was it. I would like to motion to approve the resolution.
Great. Thank you.
Second.
Great. Thanks, Kyle. Okay, so now we can go ahead and vote on that. So same process. If you are in favor, please use the green check mark.
Twenty-two total.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's actually unanimous.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate the support, Wendy. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. Wendy, is there anything at this time? Any last follow-ups? We're ready to move on to the next item. Great. So, okay, thanks again. Now we are going to move into the spring 2024 election rules and calendar. And I believe that is you, Wendy.
That is me. Oh my Great. Goodness. Okay. So everyone should have hopefully looked at the election rules and calendar in box. The reason it says draft is because it hasn't been, we haven't approved them or finalized them. So the only key points were the pink part were items that I actually removed from the election rules because they're no longer pertinent. So lines 20 through 24 was removed because the Office of the Assembly no longer provides quarter cards or posters or anything like that. And then also lines 131 to 134 was removed because since we have gone hybrid for parity, we have waived the requirement of petitions and signatures. So those two items were removed, and then the yellow highlighted were things that I added. So the lines 14 and 15, while petitions are typically required for assembly elections, they were waived as of the spring 2022 election to create greater parity between staff who are in person, hybrid, or remote. I basically just moved that from another section of the rules. I also added line 47 to 49. If no money was spent for the campaign, the candidate expenditure statement form must still be signed and dated, showing a statement of zero. That I actually want to change. We don't need that in there because if no money was spent, it should be assumed that the candidate did not spend any money. Basically, it's saving some time for candidates that if they didn't spend any money, they don't need to submit anything. And if the Office of the Assembly doesn't receive a statement form, then it's presumed that they didn't spend any money. Lines 114, 115. Uncontested candidates will be listed on the ballot as a means to provide staff with information about the candidates who are running, regardless of whether the race is contested or uncontested. Also, line 120-121, if in a term appointment, verify that term of employment is not prior to term of employee assembly seat. For the people that are leaving, if you can potentially give, your feedback in the next 5 minutes, that would be helpful. I think we'll still actually have quorum because these actually do need to be approved in order for them to be finalized and put up on the EA website. Jumping to the calendar, I am proposing I've talked with Eric in the Office of the Assemblies. They have a lot of elections to manage during the spring. So the proposal is to have the registration materials provided online as of Friday, March 1st. That will allow candidates to attend both of the March EA meeting with a registration deadline of Friday, March 22nd. EA candidate info will be on the website on Tuesday, March 26th, along with a mandatory candidate info session, and the campaigning can begin immediately afterwards. Again, they have another opportunity to attend the first EA meeting of April 3rd. Campaigning would end on Wednesday, April 10th. Voting would open on Thursday, April 11th, with voting ending at noon on Monday, April 15th. If there are any challenges, they would be, they're due by noon, and then the election committee would have the challenges hearings. Election results announced by noon on April 16th, and then the EA meeting on Wednesday, April 17th, the new members would join. I did kind of make a change, and this is where I do want some feedback, of potentially having the organizational meeting with new members immediately after the EA meeting on Wednesday, April 17th. Historically, that organizational meeting has been the first meeting in May. However, I think it would be beneficial to us and to also whomever is going to be the chair of the next term to have that meeting sooner rather than later, because we do need to work with the University Assembly, because whoever's chair is automatically part of the University Assembly. And then also it'll give us time to fill, you know, all of our positions, potentially our, you know, representatives to the UA, some of our liaison things. And also this is kind of giving people enough of a notice to potentially stay a little bit longer at that meeting on April 17th. So at this point, I welcome any questions, feedback, comments, whatever it might be. Thank you, Bethany. Appreciate it. Yeah, Anne, go ahead.
Thank you. Just a quick note, April 17th is the in-person day for the Inclusion Inclusive Excellence Summit on campus. So if, just, I know there's always something going on at Cornell, but that's a possible conflict.
Is that an all
after,
day?
For the after session. It's an all day.
Is it an all day?
There's various sessions throughout the day.
Okay. Okay. That's one of those, at least some people all the time, or all people some of the time, but not all people all the time. Yeah. So it's basically, I mean, I put that in there just to, you know, to kind of give us a little bit of a window in case something came up, or in case we didn't have people that were able to stay later on the meeting of May 1st. But again, I mean, that's, we can shift it if need be. But I am going to go on record and say I'd really like as many people as possible, including the new members that get voted in, to be at that organizational meeting, which is typically held at the end of our regular meeting, just so that we can have as much representation of our members, both old and incoming, at that meeting.
Great. Okay, thanks, Wendy. Marcy?
Can we make a motion to vote on this now?
Sure can.
Okay.
Seconded.
Thank you. Okay.
Did anyone else have a concern with that organizational meeting? Should it be held on the April 17th or on April or on May 1st? So if we're voting on it, then it must stay at the 17th. And it'll give us a little bit of window. I do acknowledge what Anne just mentioned with the workshop, but again, there's always something going on, it seems like, but with this as much notice, I mean, giving people 2.5 months of notice to try and make the time to be at that longer meeting. Of course, obviously the newer members won't have as much notice, but they will once the selection calendar goes out.
Great. Thanks, Wendy. Okay. Well, let's move into voting. Okay. So Wendy, I missed part. Can you go back? And so we're voting on the dates
We need to vote on both the rules and the calendar.
Okay, great. Okay. So those rules, all in favor? I got 17.
17, yep.
Great, plus, thank you.
Well, no, you've got 18 now, and Stephanie makes 19. She voted before she left.
Excellent, thank you. Okay, all those, we'll wait for some of the check marks to come down. And then, so all of those opposed, please use the red X. All of those, I don't see any red X's, so no, anyone who would like to abstain? Okay. So that passed unanimously.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Eric, I will get the final versions to you so you can get them on the website.
Perfect. Thank you, Wendy.
Okay. And then, so what are the two dates we're looking at, the 17th of April or May 7th? Is that correct?
We're not looking at two dates now. We're looking at April 17th because we just approved it.
Got it, got it. Okay.
That's why I was saying if we wanted to change it, we could have changed it before we voted.
Ah, got it. All right. Sorry, I had someone in my office.
No, okay. No, it's fine. When this goes up and official on March 1st, it will give candidates enough of a notice to know that there's an organizational meeting held after the EA meeting on Wednesday, April 17th. So again, that's still a 6-week advance notice of the meeting.
Excellent.
And I will also reiterate that during the mandatory candidate info session that will be held on Tuesday, March 26th.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Now we can move on to portion number 6 on the agenda, and being mindful of time, I know that we have a lot of new members here, and we're so happy to have you all. Something you might not know is that we, every summer, we have a retreat, and so a lot of the ground rules, a lot of what, you know, goes on in the EA is discussed at this meeting that lasts usually about a half a day. And unfortunately, some of our newer members didn't have the opportunity to experience that. So, you know, understandably feeling a little lost or confused and need maybe just a bit of a mentor or someone you can bounce questions off, so you could feel a little more connected than you might have otherwise. So, you know, I know Wendy is preparing a meeting to help acquaint new members, but we also wanted to see if there were any longstanding EA members who would be willing to act as a mentor, you know, in some capacity for some of our newer members. So, you know, if you are someone who's been on the EA, you have a good grasp of how things operate. Please go ahead and indicate. I see Christy. Thank you.
Shannon, you can count me in there as well.
Okay, thank you.
I stuck my checkup, but I'm also happy to.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate that. Yeah. I didn't catch that, so thank you. Yeah.
I'm happy to be a mentor, whatever that looks like. I assume we'll just let people know who the mentors are, and they can just contact them directly.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or any...
I think that sounds good. I can send out an email to everyone on the EA listserv. So, and I will add, I have Christy, Wendy, Kate, Marcy, anyone else who would like to, you know, become a mentor in the future, please let me know. But for right now, I'll provide this information and we can go from there. So I know a lot of people are having to drop off. So we'll move on to committee reports with the executive committee. Marcy?
Yep, discussing the resolution. We've been discussing guests, upcoming guests, having a little bit of a jam, but I think the next one will be the Einhorn Center. We have a few other ones that we need to schedule and finalize the dates for, but that's what we've been working on.
Thank you, Marcy. And Sophie with the communications.
We are working on the EA voice, but not only that, we're also going to, now that we passed the resolution, we're going to announce the EA elections for the spring. And the communications meeting, we already plan to meet February 19th. We also need another EA member spotlight person. If anyone wants to volunteer, please. For this month, please let me know. You can email me. If not, I'll just randomly pick someone on the wheel picker and I'll email you. All right. That's all from me. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you, Sophie. And Jeremy with education.
Yeah, being the spotlight really isn't painful. I can attest. So. The EA Education Committee, we are going to meet next week. So we haven't covered anything since the last meeting. So I don't have anything to report.
Great. Thank you. Christy with the Welfare Committee.
Hello. Today we hosted the policy compliance office from HR, discussing time away from work policy, shared some past conversations that we've had in the committee over different aspects of the policy. They're very open and interested in getting feedback. So if there is any concern that you have regarding that policy or any part of the policy you feel strongly should be protected for a reason or the other, please reach out to them. They're very open. And that's pretty much where we are right now.
Great. Thank you, Christy. And I know Bethany had to, I believe Bethany had to step out. Carl?
Yeah, so at this point, I know we don't have enough time. So I was wondering, as part of the BPC committee overview, I am trying to garner support in an adoption of a resolution. But maybe that could be something that we can add to the agenda next time we meet. So that way we can move forward with that. I know that we have 5 minutes, so I don't want to take up people's time with that right now. But as a new item for next week, that would be wonderful.
Great. Thanks, Carl. Okay. And Wendy with the elections, is if you have anything.
You all got my committee report when we went over the spring rules and calendar. So I do appreciate everyone voting on that. I will be working with Office of the Assemblies to make sure everything's up with candidate registration. On a side note, I will, as the EA representative to the campus constituency, the trustee elected one, because also we have an employee elected trustee elect in the spring, and we are going to be including it with our EA vote as well. So there's a meeting for that next Wednesday. So more information to come on that.
Thank you, Wendy. So for liaison reports, does anyone have anything? I did attend the University Assembly meeting last night. I had a very tough time making out what a lot of the details. So I can't really report too much on that. Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah, I can report on that real quick. So last night, VP Donica Varner, the general counsel, introduced interim policy for anti-doxing and interim expressive activity policies. Those are both available online, and there's space for comments. I can put the links in the chat for anybody that is interested in responding as soon as I get my technology to work. I can also put them, I'll put them up on the Employee Assembly Teams, because then they won't disappear the moment we close out of Zoom. So they'll be available there so that folks can get at them.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.
I'd like to add a little, just a little bit more if you were done reporting on
yep.
that.
I was in the room. The whole meeting pretty much consisted of people making their comments. There was a strong, there was a lot. There was no one in support of this policy. I could just say that it was not the doxing policy that was up for discussion, or at least that was being discussed. It was mainly the feeling that the right to protest is being taken away from, or at least being inhibited by this policy. It's still an interim policy. I didn't really get what that means, whether that means it still needs to be voted on, it still needs to be approved. I don't know, but they certainly did get a lot of feedback, a lot of heated feedback. I left at 6:30 when it was pretty much it was getting a little heated, and it was I left. So yeah, people were getting pretty excited about their views, and it was turning into more of a protest rather than a discussion about protesting, is what I was feeling. And that was pretty
It
much.
didn't get any less heated after you left.
Okay. Did it get What time did it end?
It went on for, I'm not sure exactly what time you left, but we were
6:30.
well over a half an hour over.
Okay. Yeah.
So
About
There were
6:50.
6:50. Yeah, there were a lot of people coming in at 6:20 into the room, and yeah, I was feeling uncomfortable. Let's just say that. So yeah, so that was interesting. I assume there'll be some information coming out, but certainly look. I don't know if the University Assembly notes comes, if everyone can access those, but if you can just see the minutes, and you can see a little bit more about
And I
it.
did put that information up in the EA Teams, so you should be able to find it there.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
I can imagine it'll be hard to hear. That room is hard to hear as it is, but I had a hard time hearing as I wear hearing aids anyway, but yeah, I had a hard time hearing everybody. There was a lot of noise going on too, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Anything else for any liaison reports? If not, we have 3 minutes for open discussion. Deb, yes?
Hi everyone. I'm a newer member. I recently received an email from an alumni affairs and development colleague asking if I would bring to the assembly the issue of extending a bereavement leave for employees. And he has a policy. I believe he was unsuccessful in having that last time around and has asked if I would bring it to the assembly for attention. What is the protocol that I should follow? How do I do that?
Wendy?
You should speak with Bethany Dixon, who is the chair of benefits and policy, the benefits welfare. I believe we have discussed it before, but if it's something that needs to be a resolution, that would be the person you could talk to.
Thank you, Bethany. Or is Bethany? Christine, sorry.
Yes, Deb, I would suggest that you can directly submit your feedback to Jessica Reynolds. She and Ashley Fazio were at the Welfare Committee meeting today, and bereavement is an aspect of the time away from work policy that they're working on right now, and they're very open to all feedback. So I would just either encourage the person who emailed you or yourself to submit that to them.
Thank you so much. And Phil?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a quick piece of information. I do apologize. I don't recall who it was that had brought up the issue last meeting, but last time we were speaking about Concur and the communications that were coming out, I did hear from Kevin Manella, who connected me with Jen Cor Cornell. And what they explained was that the reason they use the legal name is because since it's travel related, it is connected to their itinerary. So if you're traveling and you're going to a flight or a hotel, they use your legal name in the communications, but she is relaying that feedback to Concur that students would like a preferred name option when receiving communication from them.
Great, great. Thank you. Okay, we are out of time. Carl?
Yeah, I just want to relay that that's not only for students, it also affects staff members and employees of Cornell as well. So please keep that in mind when talking about it, is that it's not only affecting the students, but also our constituents directly.
Thank you.
I would thank you everyone for a great meeting. Wendy?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you all.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Say bye-bye.